Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for turn number 697. I hope you all are well. Today's 10 sponsored by the Luxembourg family, Lili Nishmas Yitzchak Yehuda ben Avraham. May the Neshama have an aliyah from our learning. So yesterday we began to discuss the question of, amongst the two holidays that are created by the rabbis, Purim and Chanukah, which is the greater holiday, which is the greater miracle, and can we tell simply from how the observances were created? As we noted, Purim are the Yemei Mishteh v'Simcha, days of celebration, days of feasting, or I should say a day of feasting. And we know we have a mitzvah of Suda, we have a mitzvah of, you know, getting drunk even on the mitzvah of Purim. Specifically, Chanukah, though, is Yemei Halel v'Hoda. It's days of gratitude, days of celebration of a more cerebral type, gratitude, Hoda, Halel, praise, and things that are very different. So we saw yesterday a discussion about whether or not one is better or worse, and it sounds like, at least according to many, it sounds like the Levush in particular, that Purim is greater, and that's why we have such a celebration, a physical celebration, because the nature of the threat was different. And we talked about spiritual threats versus physical threats, and that was yesterday. So now, again, the Aruch HaShulchan corrected, and the Aruch HaShulchan said that no, really, one's a physical celebration because it was a physical threat, one's a spiritual, so to speak, cerebral celebration because it was a not physical threat, but more of a conceptual threat to take Judaism away from the Jews, and so they're separate but equal. They're different. They're not one better and one's worse. They're just different. But I wanted to share with you answers today that also imply a difference between them, and some of them, again, point to Purim as being greater in some way. Not that we shouldn't enjoy Chanukah, but of course that Purim, because of the nature of the celebration, we see that there's really, really something to it. Now, I do want to say, it is remarkable, and this might be the idea that I like the most. It's remarkable that in these two rabbinic holidays, the rabbis found it appropriate to create such a contrast between what holidays can look like. And so on the one hand, they create a Purim, which is, like I mentioned yesterday, a little bit hedonistic, you know? There's this drinking and there's eating, and it's such a core part of the day, and it's only a one-day holiday, right? At the same time, they also created a Chanukah. And a Chanukah is not about the food, even though we can't help ourselves but to make it about the food. It's not about the food, and it's about the Hal and the Hodah. And so there's something remarkable about that, that in these two holidays, there are really two polar extremes. And I believe that maybe that's to give off the point that really we should always be finding ourselves within those two extremes, and all different types of behaviors can be within the umbrella of Jewish observance. And that's, I think, maybe the important lesson here in the contrast between these two things. Okay, so first the Taz gives an answer. He says, the Nes was Mefursim Hatzalas Nefashos. What everybody knew Purim for was the fact that lives were saved, as opposed to what everybody knew Chanukah for, were the fact that the Neros, the lights, were lit longer. So therefore we celebrate the celebration of the lack of loss of life in the Purim story by the existential threat with a physical celebration, whereas it's a little bit more cerebral. Wow, look at the miracle of the lights, that they lasted so long. That's something which was seen a little bit more intellectually, and therefore the observance of Chanukah and Purim were different. Oh, there was a war? Yeah, but that's not really what people saw as the miracle of Chanukah. So that's what the Taz suggests. The Bach says something different. The Bach says that really you have to look into why these two events occurred in the first place. Again, none of these things in Jewish history, none of these crises, none of these threats are ever to be understood in a vacuum. They all have what to do with our behavior beforehand. Like, what do we do to deserve this threat or to deserve this issue? So the Gemara says that the problem in the time of Esther and Mordechai was the fishenanu misudasa shalosa harasha. They were involved with the suda of that rasha, meaning of Achashverosh, and so the gezera, the decree against them, had what to do with that. V'alkein nigzor aleim laharug la'abedes gufam shenehenu me'achila ushtia shel iser. So the explanation that's given over here by the Bach is that their celebration with Achashverosh was the cause of the sin, and so our saving from that should also be amidst the same type of celebration of Simcha and Mishta, not of Isser, of prohibition, of instead of Heter. Chushasa Tshuva, Inu Nafsho Sam. What did they do? They fasted, etc., as we see in the story of Esther. And therefore, when we created a celebration, we did so using sort of the themes that were at play there. Then he says, by Chanukah though, Lafika Kavim L'mishtav Yom Tov Lizkor Ikar Hanes, that's why they have a celebration. But by Chanukah, the Gezerah was about what? What was the reason that the Jews lost the Mikdash in the first place? He says, Shahaisa al Shehisrashlu Ba'avoda. They became weak and disinterested and not so passionate or enthusiastic about the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And so they lost the opportunity to do so. And so they needed that enthusiasm, they needed that passion, and they needed that excitement to be able to vanquish the Greeks and to take it back. And so they need to be moser nefesh, to be self-sacrificial for the Avoda. So therefore the Kohanim were the ones who were able to pull it off, he says, and therefore with that being the case, so the fikach lo kabo elahalo lahodo shaya ha'avoda shebelev. Really what's required is not like outward and external symbols of celebration. Rather, it needs to really be internal. It needs to be something where we motivate ourselves. We can't just go through motions, because the reason they were kicked out of the Beis HaMikdash in the first place is because they were just going through motions. And so it's more about what's going on the insides when it comes to Chanukah, according to the Bach, and that's why the mitzvah is constructed in the way that it is. Now that's a nice idea. And again, it equates the two, and it does not say one is better or the other. It doesn't really deal with that. They're just very different. Now, there are a variety of other explanations that are offered. Some explanations are the celebration is actually less for Chanukah than it is for Purim. Purim was a threat against us. The threat against us, meaning we were the ones who were going to be in trouble. You know, we were going to lose our lives. As opposed to Chanukah, God was going to lose his Torah. God was going to lose his people. So it's up to God to make up what theoretically he could have lost. We, our level of celebration isn't quite the same. Very interesting perspective. I saw that in one sefer. The Makor Chaim, he explains, he says, the reason we don't quite celebrate as much when it comes to Chanukah as we do with Purim, again, acknowledging that Purim is greater of a celebration, unlike those that we saw that it's just separate, it's different, that no, that it's greater is the reason, because Jewish lives were lost in the process. I mean, there was a civil war that went on amongst the Jews, the Misyavdim, the Hellenists, and the traditional Jews, and so there were lives lost. And he explains, he says, if you're going to make a celebration, you have to make sure that everybody is involved in the celebration. Unfortunately, we were unable to have that, being that Jewish lives were lost on the story of Chanukah, maybe less so, of course, as the story of Purim. So the Maamar Mordechai says as well, the same reason, similar to the Bach, but a little bit different. He says, the way we were saved was through Mishnah and Simcha, right? So Esther, in the story of Purim, goes and manipulates Achashverosh and Haman to be able to come to her meals, and she doesn't exactly know what she's doing at these meals, once and twice, etc. And then finally, all of these meals, the outcome is the celebration of, because of the salvation of the Jews. So it seems that Mishnah and Simcha is actually playing a starring role. Best supporting actor in the story of Esther is Mishnah and Simcha. So it's not just a mode of celebration where we can identify this as being somehow greater than Chanukah. No. It's actually the mode of celebration we choose, because now it is the mode of salvation. So then, again, it's another pshat pointing not to Chanukah being any less, it's just different. Others understand differently. The Machzik Bracha, for example, says Purim, again, came through Mishnah. The original decree came through Mishnah, came through the Suda of Achashverosh, and then there was the Mishnah on the other side, so that fuses the Maamar Mordechai and the Bach that we saw. It came through Mishnah, it was solved through Mishnah, and therefore they make Mishnah, we make a Suda in order to celebrate. He suggests also one was in Eretz Yisrael, Chanukah was in Eretz Yisrael, and of course it's going to happen, the Jews are going to win when it's in Eretz Yisrael. So he says there's a little bit of natural element to it. We weren't in Gullus. It's harder to win in Gullus than we are in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, oh, and another idea, which nobody, I've never seen integrated, there's another idea that we were Mekabel the Torah, we accepted the Torah again on Purim. And so he says that must be why we were more celebratory when it came to Purim, because of that famous Gemara in Shabbos Peches, where the Gemara talks about how Hadar v'Kiblua, we accepted the Torah again willingly in the time of Purim, and that's what we celebrate. The Kaf HaChaim explains, he says that when the battle, there was a battle where the Jews were nilchamu b'ayveim and nitzchamu, and they won in the story of Chanukah. Mashenke b'Purim, there was no real battle, right? All of the stuff that happened behind the scenes, and by the time the battle came around, there was already a foregone conclusion. And he says, the king in the time of Purim was a non-Jew, v'nasan reshus laharag ba'akum, and he gave permission for Jews to kill non-Jews. It's like, who pella plos? It's crazy. So yeah, that's why we celebrate more in Purim, simply because the story is crazier in Purim, and therefore kavum l'mishnah. So again, back and forth, different ideas, whether or not we have a sense that Chanukah is lesser than Purim, or just different than Purim. In any event, enjoy your Chanukah, enjoy what we have left, have a great day, a good Yom Tov, and Chanukah.